sometimes on this journey I get lost in my mistakes. It looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. Feel you want to find me, 'cause that's what my father does. Feel you want to find me, 'cause that's what my father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door. It ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Arrival's not the end game, the journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over, if the story isn't good. Failures never final when the fire's in the wood. Failures never final when the fire's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Prodigals come home, helpless find home. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors fling wide, the dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Miracles take place, cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. The Jericho walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Lay your burden. Father's house, check your shame at the door, sin ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
Christ Church, thank you for tuning in with us. Please worship with us.
And I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade. Never enough, and you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. And I'm not afraid. Show you my weakness, my failures and faults. Lord, you see more, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Hey, Christchurch family, thank you so much for tuning in to our live stream. We are so glad to have you with us. If this is your first time tuning in with us, we just want to give a special welcome to you. We're so glad you joined us. Make sure to fill out an online connection card. We'd love to get to know you and connect with you.
That's right. We also want to say thank you so much for your incredible generosity. Because of the way you guys give, we're able to help people with groceries. We're able to help people with medical bills and so much more. Fun fact, we just upped to 30 more kids for our Food for Kids program.
That's awesome.
Which is significant, so we want to say thank you so much. There are two ways to give. The first is our Christchurch Ohio app, and the second is our Christchurch Ohio website.
Absolutely. Hey, and next week, huge news for West Campus. We are transitioning to two in-person services.
Yes.
So 9:30 and 11. Man, I have missed people so much.
So much.
And any time where we've been able to see each other, even if it's over Zoom, it's been so refreshing. So we are creating another opportunity. We're going to have twice as much space for those who want to attend in person. So our service times will be 9:30 and 11. That will be with our live stream as well. So if live stream is still the best option for you, you're still going to have that. You're just going to have more of it. So it's going to be a great change. That's starting next week.
That's right. We also are going to be doing great ways for you to get connected. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks, but next week is the week. We're calling it Homecoming
Week.
Yes. And
you remember the homecoming days in high school?
Oh, yeah. Homecoming King?
No, don't.
Yeah, yeah. So we are going to be having several ways for you to get connected. The first is our Discover Christ Church. If you've been coming and you just want to know more about the church, more on how you can serve, and just more of the details, that is going to be a perfect place for you.
And that's our pathway to becoming a member of the church.
That's exactly right. And that's going to be online. And we'll have more information on our website for you to check out for that.
Also, we are going to start for the first time Alpha.
Yes.
So if you are just have questions, maybe, you know, everything that's happening in the world, you're trying to figure out what you believe. Alpha is a great place where you can ask questions, you can think through it, you can explore
what
Christianity believes and ask all kinds of questions. And that also will be online Monday nights.
That's right. And it's a safe, non-judgmental
atmosphere. No judgment at all.
That's right.
Yep.
And then lastly, we're going to do a connections pathway. And it is, you want to tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, it's a four-week session. And if you've been coming to our church for a little while and you like it and it feels like home to you, but you're like, how do I get involved? What's the next steps? Connection pathway is a perfect way. We're going to teach a little bit about what it means to follow Christ, but also how we integrate into the church and how to serve and where to serve. And it's going to be a really, really helpful experience for you.
Okay, now we're going to do something really cool, and we are going to go live into our Sunday service. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Somebody that you love, and you're praying for the Most High God to bless that person. And it can be so beneficial to them, but it can be beneficial to you because you trust in a Father that can make everything amazing in life. That Father can lead them through everything as long as they trust in Him. And the beauty is that you trust in Him to bless your loved ones. So sing this with us as we go through this next verse. Just have that person.
Favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you. For you.
Good morning, church. Go ahead and take a seat. It's so good to see you today. Happy Labor Day. How are we already at Labor Day? Anybody know how we're here already? It's crazy. Where did summer go? Hey, can you make some noise for all those who are tuning in online right now? Hey, online family, we see you right now. We love you. And now you see yourself, too. Well, it's good to be with you. As Sarah said, if you don't mind bringing that up, thank you so much. As Sarah said, next week we're going to go to 9:30 and 11. So we're going to have two in-person options. So say that with me one time, 9:30 and 11. If you're online, just type it in for me. 9:30, there you go, and 11. I don't want there to be any confusion. We're going to keep kind of opening up, God willing, as things go in the right direction. And it's just been a blessing every time we've been able to be together in some way as a church. So I'm looking forward to moving into fall and moving on to better days. Amen? Cool. Well, one more thing before we get to the message. If you're watching today, take a minute and share online. If you got Facebook, Instagram, all of that jazz, take a second and share this experience. We want to connect with as many people. If you're watching online, just give us a nice share right now. Yep, you guys are amazing. Actually, I don't know if anybody did it, but I'm going to believe it by faith. But let's pray, and we'll get into the message today. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. We are going to look at who you are today in a fresh and powerful way, God. You are this great, merciful high priest. And Father, you're here to help us with grace and mercy in our time of need. Father, we pray that we could connect with you today. We pray that we could run to you as our refuge, as our source of help. Lord, I pray we would all deep in our hearts leave with the sense that the Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will not be afraid. We ask for this through the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we are continuing our sermon series called Something Better. And we've been looking through the book of Hebrews and looking at different chapters and different ideas. We started it last week, but today we're going to continue it. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4. And as I was reading this passage, I was reminded 2 weeks ago, Allie, myself, Emery, we went on vacation. And it was about an 11-hour drive there and back. Now, Emery's a year and a half. So you can imagine how fun that was. And so on the drive back, we were going down the highway, and it was probably 10 or 11 at night, something like that. And I'm just driving. Allie's asleep next to me. Don't you love it when your co-pilot just crashes on you? You're like, I would like to do that too, but somebody's got to drive. Anyway, sorry. And Emery's sleeping in the back, and she'd been, you know, she just really wasn't having it. You know, that was the first real long distance that we've done as a family. And all of a sudden, I'm driving, and someone, you know, I notice they get pretty close to me, right behind me, and they turn their brights on. And they are driving behind me with their brights on, completely blinding me. You know how that goes, right? Then your mirrors are, it's totally crazy. So I'm thinking like, oh, they must have hit it on accident or something like that. So I shift lanes, and guess what they do? Shift right behind me. And then I shift back, and they do it again. And I'm like, what is going on right now? And this goes on for like a good minute, 30 seconds, and then they speed off ahead of me. Now, thankfully, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I respond in a mature way. I just zipped right after him and thought, all right, when are we pulling off? When is this going down? News clipping, pastor gets in knife fight and dies, leaving. But I was in an absolute rage, and so I'm following behind them, and here's what was most frustrating. I didn't know what I did to make them mad. I don't even know. Now, I will tell you that, you know, I'm not always the best driver. I'm not always, you know, the most in tune with everything that's happened. So maybe I cut them off on accident at some time. I don't know. Maybe Maybe they saw my Ohio plates and they're not Buckeye fans, or I don't know what it was, but all I knew is that it left me in a place of rage that I hadn't been in a long time. So after I was following them, just kind of this voice inside was like, well, Pastor, what exactly is your plan right now? Well, I'm going to run them over. Yeah, with your daughter in the back seat, your wife sleeping next to you. Great idea, Pastor. And so I just had to let it all go. Now, I may have asked God that, you know, he would take vengeance in his own hands. And I may have said some of those types of prayers. But it was a weird experience. And it reminded me how much on edge we all are. Isn't it true at this time in our world? We're all on edge. I thought, you know, I don't know what put them on edge, and I don't know how I crossed over that edge, but clearly something happened and they lost their mind, and then what they did made me lose my mind, and then everybody's mind was lost, and it was not a good place. And what I notice is that it seems like we are just all a little bit more on edge these days and a little bit closer to losing it. And I don't know what your it is. Maybe it's your mind, your well-being, your temper, whatever. But it's just been one of those times where it's been easier than ever to be on edge and to lose it. But today, I want to show you some help for people who are on edge. So if you're on edge today, if you feel like you're just a little bit easier to explode, easier to get angry, easier to criticize, easier to lose your happiness and joy and peace, then I think what we look at in Hebrews chapter 4 is going to be really, really helpful to you, because he's writing to people who are on edge also. And let's look at it today. It's Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to start right at verse 14. Here's what it says. Since we then have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So I want to just share two ideas with you this morning. I want to talk about losing it and finding him. Doesn't that sound like a good, you know, pattern right there? Losing it and finding him. Now, what's interesting about the book of Hebrews is that he is writing to people, the author. And again, we don't know who the author is. He's unknown. It's one of the great mysteries about the New Testament. But he's writing to people that are on edge like us. And they're in danger of losing it. And what their it is their faith. We don't know historically all that's going on, but we know that this was a high-pressure time for followers of Jesus. And many were entering this time, and they were just getting crushed by it. They're getting beat up by it. And so they were on the trajectory of losing their commitment and their faith to God. And so the author of Hebrews, in many ways, is writing, and he's trying to help them be encouraged, be strengthened, and find a better way in this difficult time. And one of the things that I believe happens when we get on edge and we get closer to losing it is that there's often some lies that fill our minds and our hearts. And I want to share them with you. Tell me if these feel familiar to you at all. When you're on edge, when life is hard, when things are overwhelming, it's so easy to just sit back and tell ourselves, no one gets it. Yeah. Amen. Give me a Southern amen online if you feel that way. No one gets it, right? And have you ever just been in a situation in your life and then someone's like, I know exactly what you're going through. And then you're like, no, you don't. Not helpful, right? Because every one of our situations is unique, isn't it? None of these situations are the exact same. None of them can be exactly replicated. And one of the great challenges in life is when we look at our situation and we just feel a sense of isolation because people can't fully get it. And so we begin to just live on that thought. No one gets it. No one gets where I'm at, what I'm going through. And here's the second line that comes right along with it. No one cares. No one cares what's happening. They're worried about their life. They're too busy doing their own thing. They're worried about what they have to do. And no one cares about what's happening in my life. And then lastly, where it gets real dangerous is we begin to believe no one can really help. And church, that's what I call the spiritual doom cycle. No one gets it, no one cares, and no one can help. And if we're not careful, that will loop in our mind in some fashion, in some form, over and over again until we really do lose it. You with me on this, church? Those are some of the most dangerous patterns of thought that can just absolutely consume our hearts and our minds. And so I think if you notice some of those, then we have to confront those this morning. And we have to create a different and a better approach, because everything in our world will put us in that doom cycle. No one gets it. No one cares. No one can help. No one gets it. They don't get it. They don't get what's happening in my life. No one really cares. Yeah, they act like they care, but they don't really care. And no one can really, really help. That doom cycle will rob us of the blessings that God has for us, of the life that God has for us. So that's losing it. Now let's talk about finding him. Because what really gripped me this week was as I was reading the book of Hebrews, he's writing to these people that are losing it, but notice what his approach is. And if you're reading through the book of Hebrews as we go in this sermon series, and I really encourage you to do that, then you will see what he does is he doesn't say, all right, you need to just take a vacation, guys. Hebrew people, just take a vacation. Chill out. You'll be okay. He doesn't say, hey, you just need to tweak your diet. Or you need to do more Pilates. Pilates, is that even a thing anymore? You don't need to do... He doesn't offer any of these simple tweaks, but here's what he says to on-edge people. He says you need to see and connect to Jesus Christ in a new way. That's his solution. That's the main solution of the book of Hebrews, is I want to show you Christ in a greater way. I want to give you a bigger vision of who Christ is, of what he's done and what he will and can do for you today. And so I want to just share that with you today. If you feel like you're a person on edge, then what you and I need is a better Christology. Now that's a fancy word of just saying we need a better understanding and connection to Jesus Christ. You with me on that? A better Christology. A better vision, a better understanding, a better relationship to him. And that's what much of the rest of these verses are about. So look what he says here. Again, I just want to read it to you one more time. He says, we have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, who's not unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin. So notice what he's saying. He's saying, hey, we have a God who understands what you're going through. Right? We could look at all the people in our life and we could say, they don't get it. And there would be an element of truth. They're not going to fully understand you and your story. But what the author of Hebrews says, we can never look at Jesus Christ and say, you don't get it. In fact, he says, we can look at him and what we will see is someone who sympathizes and understands and shows compassion towards what you and I are going through. You with me on this, church? He gets it. And what's amazing is he said he's been there, but he's also navigated his way forward in a healthy and a holy way. Because it's one thing to be there, but then it's another thing to know how to get out of there, right? See, the author of Hebrews says he's been tempted in every way as we are, but yet he's without sin. He's been in that dark place that you're in. He gets it. He knows the feeling. He knows the uniqueness of who you are. He understands all of that, and he knows the way out. And so, church, today, there's hope for you. There's hope for me. No one else in this world might get it, but Christ understands. And he doesn't have this posture of, oh, man, you idiot. How are you there? Why do you feel like this? How could you? But it is a sympathetic and understanding heart that he has towards us. You with me on this, church? I'm going to need some solid Southern amens this morning. He gets it. He gets it. But then he goes on. It's not only that, but he says, but he is one who with confidence we can draw near to the throne of grace. So he gets us, but he also is powerful, right? When you think of a throne, you think of a king. You think of one who reigns, one who has power, one who can make things happen, one who can say, no, this is the way it's going to be. And it's going to be that way. And the author of Hebrews says that Christ is a king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But notice how he characterizes his throne. It's not a throne of power. It's not a throne that, you know, is just used to accomplish his agenda. But it's a throne of grace. See, if you give me all the power in the world, I'm going to do some really stupid things with it, right? It's gonna be bad. I'm going to abuse that. We've all heard that old saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we've seen that play out in human history, right? We've seen people with power abuse it. It's one of the oldest stories of humankind. What the author of Hebrews says is Christ is different. He has a throne, yes. He's powerful, yes. But he uses his power to give grace. Isn't that incredible? It's not a throne of justice, although it could be, where God says, all right, you didn't live up to it. You failed again. Hammer time. And poof, you're gone. Now, God could rightly do that. He has the power. He has the righteousness to do that. But he chooses to reside on a throne of grace. What does grace mean? It means that he treats us better than we deserve. God's power is to treat you better than you deserve. God's disposition is to treat you better than you deserve. God's disposition in his heart is to say, yeah, I know this is where you're at, and this is how things have gone wrong, but I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to change your life with my kindness. You know what's amazing? There's a passage in Scripture that says the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Isn't that absolutely incredible that the way that God changes our heart and changes our attitude is kindness, is grace. And the apostle, or the author, whoever wrote this, he says he sits on a throne of grace. I can't also help but think about the movie Elf. You sit on a throne of lies. Anybody? Any elf fans out there? It's not that either. It's a throne of grace. And so what does that mean? It means that he cares, that he's invested in you. He's invested in me. He wants to help, and he's willing to. And then look at this last part. He says we can draw to this throne of grace boldly that we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need. No one can help. No one can help. No one can help. No, 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 no. He can help. When you go to him, what are you going to find? You're going to find mercy and grace in your time of need. Whether you know it or not, it's the two things that we need the most. What is mercy for? Mercy is for our past. Mercy is for our mistakes. Mercy is for our failures. And we all need it. Mercy is the idea that God isn't going to punish us. He's not going to give us what we deserve. When someone's merciful, they're letting you off the hook. And so when we go to the throne of grace, what we get is we get mercy for everything that's gone wrong. Because here's what you and I need in life. We need forgiveness. And until we experience it from God, we can't actually forgive ourselves, and we can't forgive other people. And when unforgiveness reigns in the human heart, it creates all kinds of dysfunction. And so what the throne of grace does is it gives you mercy where you realize it's over. It's water under the bridge. I can move on from this pain. I can move on from this failure. I don't have to be captive. I don't have to torture myself with it. And I don't have to hold hate and resentment in my heart for others, because mercy was given to me, and therefore I can give it to others. And church, we absolutely need that to thrive as human beings. And he says, you will find mercy there. And I'm not just talking about mercy from like 10 years ago, although I got stuff from 10 years ago. I'm talking about there's mercy for Tuesday, right? There's mercy for Wednesday. There's mercy for Friday, right? There's mercy for this morning. That when we fail and you look back, you're like, oh, that man, that was dumb. I was an idiot. I was selfish. I was foolish. I was harsh with my words. I was lazy. I was whatever. There's mercy even for Tuesday and 10 years ago and 30 years ago. And it's mercy that we need. So mercy for our past, but then there's grace for our future. And you need that too. You need to know that you're not going into the fight alone. You're not going into the struggle alone. God will help you. God will meet you there. The author of Hebrews, he's saying, I know it feels like there's no one there with you, but he is with you. He will help you. There's grace. He's going to find ways to bless you. Not because you deserve it, but because that's who Jesus Christ is. He's going to find ways to help you navigate all the challenges ahead and all the struggles ahead. You're going to find grace that meets you in all that. And we need grace. We need God's help in the present. We need God's help for the future. And he says the throne of grace has all of that. Now, how does this verse change us? Let me just share a couple ideas about it. Because here's what's important. It's one thing to know what Hebrews chapter 4 has to say. It's another to allow it to change how we live. You with me on this? Those are two different things. I know eating donuts is not good, but some days it's hard to do that, right? I know to save and not spend. We know many of these principles and theories, but until you live them out, that's where they become powerful and life-changing. And so this idea can't just be an idea. It has to impact something in our hearts and lives. So how does it change us? Number one, I think if we really allow this to come into our hearts and minds, it gives us a new disposition. It helps break the doom cycle. The doom cycle. No one gets it. No one cares. No one's going to help. No one gets it. No one cares. No one's going to help. No one gets it. No one cares. No one can help. But what if you started a Christ cycle? He gets it. He understands. He is a sympathetic high priest. He lives on a throne of grace. He cares. And he can help. He has mercy and grace. He can help deal with your past. He can meet you in the present. And he can prepare you for the future. And what if that became the disposition? What if that loop played in your heart and in my heart? Wouldn't it make things different? And we could go into life not defeated, but encouraged. Not on the edge, but on hearts that are filled with a sense of confidence and peace because we know that he is with us. It's a new disposition. Here's the second thing that this passage is meant to change in us, to give us a new boldness. He says, draw boldly to the throne of grace. That means go to God like he's real, like he cares, and like he actually can do something. That's boldness. Going to God and saying, Lord, I am really counting on you. That's not presumption. That's actually honoring God. When we pray in a bold way, in a confident way, when we pray and then we walk out of that prayer time and we expect something to be different because we talk to the Most High God, that's boldness. And let's be honest, church, for those of you who pray, how many times do we pray and then we walk out not believing that that is going to change anything? Yeah, I prayed, I did it, I did the religious thing. But it's not really going to change anything. Boldness says, I prayed the world will be different. My world will be different. I'm expecting to see something else happen because I talk to the God that cares for me. That's a new boldness. And then lastly, a new urgency. Here's what I believe this text leads us to. It leads us to be people that are urgent in prayer. How do I live this out? I live this out by making prayer an urgent matter in my life. See, for me, every day lunch is an urgent matter. I don't care what's happening. I'm getting lunch. I'm getting something to eat. It's going to be good. Everything else can stop until that happens. I have an urgency. I'm counting down the minutes and the hour. Any other people that love food out there? Anyway, we'll talk about addiction and stuff another time. But there's an urgency to it. There's a priority to it. And what this passage means is that prayer can become and should become and must become a priority to our lives. That we see it not as our last resort, but as our first. Not as a thing that we do. Well, hey, the only shot you have is a prayer because it's probably not going to do it. No, we say, I'm going to prayer because something needs to change. I'm going to prayer because it's the only thing that can really transform my life, transform this moment, transform this situation. And I'm going to pray boldly, and I'm going to do it urgently, and I'm going to do it persistently because my God cares, and he hears, and he's powerful, and there's mercy and grace. It's accessible. I just have to ask for it, and I have to step into it, and then I will see him work in my life. And here's what I know. If you go to prayer urgently, if you and I go to prayer urgently, we will see God move in our lives in undeniable ways. I promise you. And so my last challenge for you today is I want you to commit to a different rhythm of prayer. I want you to commit, and especially if you've never really prayed before, that's okay. This is a perfect day to start. I want you to commit to just the next 21 days. That's till September 27th, if my math is right. September 27th, I want you to pray in an expectant, in an urgent, in a way where you are telling yourself what Hebrews 4 tells us about Jesus Christ. And here's what I will guarantee you. You will leave that experience with a different perception of God. Your faith will grow. Your confidence in Him will grow. And you will just be driven to prayer even more. There's a powerful quote I read this week. It's by P.T. Forsyth, and he says that the root of all sin is prayerlessness. And it really hit me. Because what it reminded me is that that is what we need every day, to just remind ourselves that we absolutely depend on God, but it's okay because God is absolutely dependable. That we need Him for the small things and the big things, but He is absolutely faithful in the small and the big things in our life. And prayer is how we connect to that power. So for 21 days, I want you to pray in a new way. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be super spiritual. Whatever is weighing on you today, maybe it's just one thing that is just wrecking you right now. It's keeping you on the edge. I want you to just commit to prayer for 21 days. Maybe it's 25 things that are wrecking you. Well, then you can just pray through one each day till we get there. But whatever it is, I want you to commit to a deeper level of prayer, but to pray in a way that's consistent with Hebrews chapter 4, that you're expecting Him to hear you. You're expecting Him to care. You're looking for Him to move in your life. And let's see what God does. What does our world need right now? It doesn't probably need your opinion as much as it needs your prayer. It needs you and I to cry out to God to do some good things in people's lives. And what if we put our heart and our attention towards that? You with me on this, church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You, God, that You have given us this promise and this hope. That, Father, every good thing in our life comes from You. And that, Lord, You are merciful. You are faithful. You are dependable. You are sympathetic, Lord. All those things that we fear, that no one gets it, no one cares, and no one can help, is defeated by this passage right here. The doom cycle is broken because You do get it. You are tempted, but yet without sin. You're the forerunner of our faith. You've already been to where we need to be. You care, You understand, and You're absolutely willing to help. Father, I pray that You would bless us this morning, that we could just go to You with a new boldness, with a new consistency, with a new habit in our life, and we could see You move and glorify Your good and holy name. I ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Guys, so much for joining us. Remember, for all the ways to get connected, to check our website, which is christchurchohio.org.
Yep, and next week, again, 9:30 and 11 in-person live stream.
Yes.
It's going to be great. I wasn't a huge fan of that preacher.
I don't. I thought he was
great. He was a little bit.
Don't talk about my friend that day.
Jokes weren't good. He's just off to me. But I hope you all received it. And I hope that this series has been a blessing to you. And I do. I love this text. I love this idea, you know, that God understands what we're going through. I might not understand your story or your story out there. And sometimes it can make us feel so alone, but we have a God who can sympathize with us.
Awesome.
He gets it. He gets you. And because of that, we can go to Him in prayer with boldness. And so we just want to end today. I want to say a prayer for you. And just let's go to the throne boldly and trust that whatever you need help with, I know in my life there's definitely areas I need God's help. I long for God's help.
Amen.
And I just want you to think about what that is in your life as we pray. And let's go to him boldly and let's expect this week that he's going to hear our prayer. He's going to help you. He's going to help me. He's going to meet us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we acknowledge that you are compassionate. Father, that you are a God that understands our weakness, Lord. You don't condemn us for it. You don't push us to the side because of it, Lord. But you say, I get it, and I'm here to help. I love you, and I want to meet you in your time of need. So, Father, I pray for myself, and I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. I know there are so many different stories represented on this live stream. Father, some of us are just facing the challenge of school starting. Some of us are facing the challenge of health issues. Some of us are facing the challenges of finances. Some of us are facing the challenges of just strained relationships, of depression, of loneliness, Lord, of just confusion, of fear about the future. And Lord, we just give all of those to you. You know our needs. You know what we're going through. And now, Lord, we just pray for that help. We come to you boldly, God. We need you. We long for you. And because what we see in the book of Hebrews, Lord, we are praying with expectation, God, trusting that you will help us, that you will be with us, that this week will be better because our hearts are fixed on you, are trusting in you, are looking to you. So bless us, Lord. Help us to see your hand very clearly this week and to see that you are a God who cares, who helps, and is worthy of our full trust. We love you, Lord. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for joining in.
God bless you.
We'll see you next week.